Hey, what's happening, everybody? You're listening to the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
How's it going, everyone? My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm Will Brueggemann. Thank you so much for joining us.
Today's topic is jazz music, a very exciting topic that we've been looking forward to doing for a long time on this podcast. Now, video game music obviously has a lot of jazz influence, and there's a lot of video game music that I would describe as jazzy, but in this particular episode, instead of calling it jazzy music, we wanted to call it jazz music because we really wanted to play music that is incredibly authentic and that really goes farther into the jazz music realm. So every single track you're going to hear today has incredible jazz influence, and I would have no qualms in calling every single track we're playing today jazz music.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, jazz music in and of itself really has had such a tremendous influence on music as a whole. I mean, if you look at pop music, blues, rock and roll, like everything, a lot of it comes out of jazz. And not only musically, but the whole idea and mentality, the philosophy of the improvisational nature of jazz music has just been so tremendously influential. And that really shows a lot in video game music. You know, we talk about a lot of these Japanese composers, which have a lot of jazz influence. And we mentioned before, like a jazz fusion influence.
Yeah, one more time, I wanted to mention that if any of you out there have not listened to our inspiration and influences episode, I believe it was episode 49, we really recommend that you go back and check that out because that will give you a lot more of an idea of the kind of the influences of jazz music as well as all other types of music for video game music. But yeah, we'll talk a little bit later about kind of the history of jazz music. But one thing to mention up front that's really cool and unique about jazz is that it's a completely American art form. It's 100% American.
Absolutely.
I think that's an important thing to note. And one kind of cool thing about the playlist of today's episode is we're going to be having a few more Western composers than we normally would, and that makes sense for the topic of jazz. So what you guys heard playing in with was from Pilot Wings. That was a track called Flight Club. We're going to start things off with, and this shouldn't be surprising for people that are a fan of this podcast, we're going to play a track from Sam and Max Hit the Road. And this is composed by the LucasArts Dream Team of Michael Land, Clint Bajakian, and Peter McConnell. And in our LucasArts episode, when we interviewed Peter McConnell, we definitely kind of really got into this soundtrack. And Peter kind of talked about some of the cultural influences that led to creating this jazz soundtrack. We're going to play a track called Dino Bungee National Memorial. Enjoy. Cool, you're listening to Dino Bungee National Memorial from Sam and Max Hit the Road, composed by the LucasArts Dream Team. It's a great way to start this episode off. You're listening to the Sound Canvas version here. And yeah, this has always been one of my personal favorite tracks in the game. This occurs very late in the game. This is, I would say, about three quarters through the game when you get to this Dino Bungee National Memorial. But this is definitely a track that stands out. In our LucasArts episode, we played a couple tracks from this game, but this was one that we have not played yet, so it's great to play this track.
Yeah, one thing about the soundtrack that I really like, it keeps a very consistent theme, both as far as the fact that it's such a jazz score and also the instrument choices, like so many reoccurring ideas, like for example that like marimba line, that
right,
that you hear things like that throughout, just doing dubba-dubba-ding.
There's really nice motifs throughout this entire soundtrack that every track kind of comes back to. Some of the intros of each track are very similar.
Right.
There's one particular chord in this. It's the last chord of the structure. It's dun 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 dun. And there's this really kind of cool augmented chord. Mm-hmm. And that's one really cool thing about today's episode and about jazz music is jazz chord changes is one of the most important parts of jazz music. And I think what's cool is that in other genres of music, you will hear similar chords, whether it's classical music or there's a lot of genres of music where you will hear some of these chords. But what makes jazz music so unique is how these chords are strung together. When you talk about jazz changes, it's these very unique, very colorful, extended chords that are strung together in quick succession that makes jazz music so signature. And when you hear soloists, like you heard in this track, there was a sax solo, and I think there's a piano solo. When they're soloing over those jazz chord changes, there's something so undeniable about it. And even if you're not very familiar with kind of the technical side of music, when you hear that, when you hear those soloists playing over those chord changes, you're definitely going to know you're listening to jazz music.
Yeah, there's definitely, it's a very cool, hip, kind of sexy, scandalous kind of sound of all those sort of extended chord changes. Another thing about this soundtrack that's just very consistent, the bass writing has this very consistent sort of film noir sound to it. It's sort of like a walking bass line, but it's always very chromatic. That type of thing, and where it's always sort of moving. It's never staying on one note for more than less than a measure. It's like every single quarter note, it's moving
absolutely
up or down. So, and I think it is because of those repetitive sort of chord changes.
Yeah, so after we play a few tracks up front, I'm kind of going to go over a little bit of some of the fundamentals of jazz music, some of the consistent things that you're going to hear in a lot of these tracks. But before we talk about that, we're going to play one more track. This is from Aladdin for the Sega Genesis, one of my personal favorite soundtracks. This was composed by Donald S. Griffin. We're going to play a track that we have not yet played so far on this podcast. This is Turban Jazz. A great devious melody here. This is Turban Jazz from the Sega Genesis game Aladdin, composed by Donald S. Griffin. One thing that I love about this soundtrack is that, similar to what Will was talking about with Sam and Max, this soundtrack has a very specific set of instruments and a very specific melodic style that a lot of these songs, the melodies will do similar things. And this track really reminds me of Camel Jazz. Mm-hmm. It really reminds me of that other song that's called, I think it's called Gloomy.
Gloomy Tune.
It's the Cave of Wonders or the Dungeon theme. And that's what I think is so cool, is that this soundtrack really creates its own musical landscape. And through the choice of instruments, it helps to strengthen that as well. Now, I just want to talk a little bit about some of the fundamentals of jazz music, some of the musical things that you can kind of listen out for in this episode. One of the things that you're going to hear in a lot of this music is a walking bass line. You'll hear that on this track. It's basically the doom, 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 doom. It's a very quarter note, very driving bass rhythm that you're going to hear for most jazz music. Another thing is what the drums are doing. Now, for a lot of music that we hear, pop music, rock music, it's backbeat oriented. You're going to hear the snare drum on the 2 and the 4. Now, with a lot of jazz music, when you're playing a swing rhythm, it's more about the ride cymbal. And what you're hearing here, this is just using the noise channel, but a lot of this music will use the ride cymbal, and it's going to be doing that pattern, that dun 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 dun, that swing pattern on the ride cymbal. So that's what you're going to be hearing in a lot of this music. Another thing is a lot of the rhythms that are played for the melodies or the accompanying instruments are going to be using a lot of upbeats. Bap. Because jazz music is really all about the upbeats, unlike a lot of other genres of music where it's downbeat oriented, something like dance music or rock. Jazz is all about the upbeats, so that's another thing to kind of listen out for.
Definitely. And the cool thing about video game music is whenever we talk about an influential genre like jazz music or classical music as it pertains to its influence in video game music, it's cool because some examples are much more authentic and faithful than others. This is a pretty authentic jazz tune, but the cool thing about it is sort of video game-mized, so
absolutely.
It has a much more instantly catchy and structured melody. melody.
It's much more catchy, but it's definitely going for kind of a big band feel.
Definitely.
Which it's so cool to hear that on the Genesis. Yeah, one of my favorite things is hearing jazz music, really authentic jazz music, on the Sega Genesis. And we're actually going to follow this up with another Sega Genesis track. This is from a game called Minnesota Fats Pool Legend. So us, obviously being from Minnesota, we record this show in Minnesota. We have to play some tracks from this game. This is a pool game for the Sega Genesis, and it features, in my opinion, the most authentic jazz soundtrack of any game in the 16-bit generation. So we're really excited to play some music from this game. And like I mentioned before, you're going to hear that ride cymbal a lot in jazz music. This is one of the only games I can think of on the Genesis that features a ride cymbal sample. That PCM channel, a lot of times in the Genesis, you'll hear it used for kick drum and snare drum,
right.
Sometimes sound effects. This soundtrack uses it for the ride cymbal, so it's so
cool
to hear that.
You can tell it's definitely jazz.
Absolutely, yeah. So we're going to play a track called The Crooked Cue, and this soundtrack was composed by Shogo Sakai, Mizaki Iwasaki, and Saiji Momoi. Let's take a listen to The Crooked Cue from Minnesota Fats Pool Legend. So awesome. You're listening to The Crooked Cue from Minnesota Fats Pool Legend. This is such a great jazz waltz here. You'll notice that this is in 3/4 time. And that's another thing about jazz music is there's a lot of different meters that are used in jazz music. I think in a lot of other genres of music, most of the times you're just going to hear 4/4. But with jazz music, you're going to hear a lot of 3/4, some 5/4, maybe some 7. There's just a lot of cool different meters that you're going to hear today, definitely. And one thing that I really like about this particular track is that very soloistic melodies that are going on here. I think the instrument is trying to be a saxophone, most likely. But what I like about it is that it starts off ideas on extended notes. So for example, let's say the seventh or ninth. Yeah, let's say the chord has a flat nine. The melody will start on that flat nine. So it really creates a lot of dissonance, and then it kind of very quickly resolves itself into something a little bit more pretty. But it starts off with a lot of dissonance. There's a lot of tension. It's just really effective.
Yeah, definitely. Very improvisational style melody, and I like how there's sort of like a backup band to it. You know, it's mm-hmm. like you have the drums, you have the bass, and that sort of electric piano, and they're just sort of playing the same thing, just going through the progression, going through all the changes, and just sort of playing this consistent thing,
mm-hmm.
while the melody does feel very improvisational.
Yeah, it's so wild to hear this level of authentic jazz music on the Sega Genesis. This soundtrack was such a cool find for me this week. I was so excited when I found it because it's really the perfect soundtrack to play on today's episode. And I'm so glad that we haven't found it until today. I think it's really fitting that we get to play.
Yeah, I think another cool thing is that jazz definitely has a connotation sort of not necessarily like underground, like gambling, but there is sort of a connotation with, you know, like gambling and pool and card games. And
I mean, when you think about it, I think it all goes back to show tunes. It all goes back to something like Guys and Dolls with the Luck Be a Lady Tonight. I mean, there's a lot of kind of connotations of gambling and casino and that sort of whole lifestyle with jazz music. There's something that kind of makes it classy. I think that's a really good point to make. There's definitely that connotation. I see that linkage a lot, whether it's in musicals or movies or video games. You just, a lot of times when you think of Las Vegas, you think of jazz music.
Yeah, I think the reason why that connotation really holds true is because a lot of these sort of American enterprises, you know, with gambling and what have you, they're considered very adult and kind of scandalous,
mm-hmm.
but there's also like a lot of money involved, and, you know, people will be wearing, you know, suits and tuxedos,
mm-hmm.
and this sort of nighttime scandalous nature of it. And I think jazz really captures that, especially nowadays, because it's very improvisational and it's definitely considered very cool and kind of hip. But there is sort of like a more of a professionalism. It's less like youthful and punky than like a lot of music nowadays.
Absolutely. So we're going to move on to a track from Grim Fandango. This is another soundtrack that was composed by Peter McConnell. We're going to play a track called Mr. Frustration Man. You're listening to Mr. Frustration Man from Grim Fandango, composed by Peter McConnell. Such an awesome soundtrack. This particular track features really nice muted trombone and muted trumpet, which fits so well for the slightly, like Will said, the slightly scandalous vibe. And it kind of fits, like we talked about it last week, for the secret agent vibe. There's definitely a stealthy quality to when you use that muted trombone.
Right, and there's a sort of like a sexiness to it.
Oh, absolutely.
Really. Like, it's very suggestive and romantic, a lot of jazz music. And this game is a really incredible game, especially for the time. It's one of the most advanced games as far as like storytelling and characterization.
Graphics.
It's really, really artistic.
Everything about it was cutting edge. You know, the graphics and the music. We talked a lot about this in our Peter McConnell interview. If you guys haven't checked that out, feel free to check that episode out. But yeah, we talked a lot about Grim Fandango and kind of the story of how Peter found those musicians in the Mission District in order to record this soundtrack. It's such an interesting story, and it's so great how authentic this is.
It's really
era.
Cool because the whole game is such a mix of cultures. Like,
right,
it has a film noir quality, but it definitely has an incredible like Spanish Latin sort of quality to
You'll hear that
as
with
well.
The mariachi trumpets and stuff too. So yeah, just awesome soundtrack. We're going to move on to a game for the Super Nintendo, and this is a kind of a cool game. Now, when Will and I, when we were kids and we first got a Super Nintendo, because I think I've mentioned before that I grew up with the Sega Genesis, but later on we did actually find, I think, an unopened Super Nintendo that we got at some like garage sale, and it came with Mario World, obviously, but there was one other game that we got. So one of the first games that we actually played on the actual Super Nintendo was a game called Vegas Stakes, and it's a casino game. It's kind of like a gambling game that takes place in Las Vegas, and it features, you know, not surprisingly, a really good jazz soundtrack, and it's kind of a rare thing for Super Nintendo. This was composed by Kimitaka Matsume. Let's take a listen to Golden Paradise.
Sweet, we're listening to Golden Paradise from Vegas Stakes. This is a really cool, very jazzy track. Incredibly authentic. The Super Nintendo's really interesting because it's all sample channels. So we do get some really nice sort of ride samples going on here. Mm-hmm. Very good instrument choices. Very authentic jazz changes. There is one part that I really like. It sort of uses that chromatically ascending... Carl and I like to call it the James Bond progression,
right?
But it's a really effective progression if you want to create sort of tension.
Mm-hmm.
And what's nice about this game, it is gambling. So a lot of times you're at a point where there is tension. And I mean, I guess speaking of James Bond, you know, he's one to partake in gambling. So
absolutely.
Maybe it's not really a coincidence if you think about it. But
yeah, one thing that I love, I think my favorite part of this track is the very beginning, the... And when you listen to that part, there's some really interesting lush harmony on those first couple measures. Really interesting harmony and really interesting chord changes. That's something that really
reminds me of the... It's actually a little bit of a ripoff of the Johnny Carson Tonight Show theme. Because that goes...
That's funny.
It's very similar. And the melody happens on like the offbeats and stuff.
That's really funny. That's a nice thing to note there. Well, but yeah, no. So that soundtrack, for kind of a weird reason, it kind of means a lot to us. It's very nostalgic for Will and I.
Definitely. I didn't necessarily remember all the music, but just hearing those sound sets and hearing, especially that chromatic part, the da na 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 na.
Yeah, and this particular track is the one that was the most memorable for me for this game. So. Very cool. We're going to play another quintessential 16-bit jazz soundtrack. This is for the Sega Genesis. It's a game we've played a couple times on the podcast. This is Pebble Beach Golf Links, composed by Shigekatsu Kamaki. We're going to play a track we have yet to play so far. This is BGM 1. Cool. This is BGM 1 from Pebble Beach Golf Links, composed by Shigekatsu Kamaki. Pebble Beach Golf Links is such a classic Genesis soundtrack, in my opinion. It is definitely one that we knew we wanted to play a track from on this episode. Every single track is so jazzy in the soundtrack. Really great main menu music, really great BGM music, great title screen music. All the tracks are really strong, and it has a really cool laid-back feel that is oddly appropriate for a golf game. I think we talked about in the past that sometimes it may feel kind of goofy, the music, as far as that this is a golf game. But really, in my opinion, this particular track, man, it really fits well for golf. And so I don't know why.
Yeah, something that I'm just so attracted to right there at the end of that melody. Just great. Not only the rhythm of it, the harmony that's happening, the dent, da dent, dent,
right.
Dent,
the comping, dent, yeah. Dent.
It's a great rhythmic melody, but the harmony underneath is so classic, really catchy. Another thing to note about jazz music is, in addition to all those really fast extended chord changes, there's also a lot of modulation that sort of, it modulates and then it gets back into the key, so it's not
right.
Necessarily like a key change.
And a lot of that is definitely derived from classical music. It definitely comes from that lineage. But one thing that's really cool, and I think another classical thing about this piece, is that one section is and that really feels like a classical melody there. So I think right. It's kind of cool that you can see that linkage there.
Well, I think another thing that we have to talk about is the blues scale.
Right.
The blues scale is essentially a scale of notes that is used in so many different forms of music, but it really comes out of jazz. And most of these solos that you're hearing, most of these jazz melodies, are making use of the notes in the blues scale.
And one of the great things about the blues scale is that even if you have really complex extended chord changes, the blues scale works so well for almost any sequence of chord changes for a jazz piece.
So if you're unfamiliar, the series of notes notes in a blues scale and go ba 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 ba. Those are the notes in a blues scale. So it's obviously not as many that are in like a, say, a major or minor scale. And in addition,
it's actually just six notes, right?
Right. So in addition to, you know, you have major, minor, blues scale, a lot of jazz tunes use modes, the church modes. And if you're not familiar with what those are, you may have heard of them. There's like, some of them are called, there's Dorian mode, there's Ionian, Mixolydian, Lydian.
Phrygian, yeah. And the great thing about jazz music is a lot of times you're going to be using a combination. You're going to be going back and forth, blues scale to modes to major to minor. You're going to be using a lot of different scales at once. And a lot of times maybe you'll use a blues scale, but you'll throw in a harmonic. You'll throw in like a raised seventh. You'll just kind of throw in some colors here and there.
Yeah, one thing that I just really love about jazz that I think is so cool, there's so much things happening harmonically. Like, it's so fast moving, and there's so much advanced, complex music happening. But at the same time, juxtaposed with all that really complex musical change and dissonance, there's so much stuff that's not on the page. There's like 90% of it that's just so improvised and coming from the heart. And that's what I love about it. It's like it's combining this structured, thought out musical mechanism as far as like all the changes in chord progressions. But at the same time, there's this very primal idea of like creating an improvised melody over the top of it. And something about it, when you combine those two things together, it is really magical.
And the interlocking rhythms, and when everything is swinging, there's nothing like jazz music. And in my opinion, it really is the most harmonic and rhythmically sophisticated music that I've ever heard. And there's just something that you really can't quite put your finger on. But when you listen to it, it just, in the simplest sense, it just makes you tap your foot to it. So we're going to play a track from a game called Voodoo Vince, and this soundtrack was composed by Steve Kirk. This game came out for the Xbox. Let's take a listen to Main Street. This is a really great gypsy jazz soundtrack. Here we go. Awesome. This is Main Street from Voodoo Vince, composed by Steve Kirk. Such virtuosic violin playing here. It's just really great to get the jazz violin. It's such a signature sound for a lot of gypsy jazz, but it's something that you don't hear that often in jazz music. So it's definitely a really cool, unique facet of jazz that I'm glad we got to showcase on today's episode. There's actually another track later on that we're going to be hearing violin in the jazz context as well.
Yeah, one thing I love about this track, the melody, very interesting rhythm, the bep, 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 that type of rhythm you hear a lot. But one thing that I love is this sounds like sort of an improvised, really sort of primal, really good melody. But what's nice is it's completely written out, because there's a point where it's harmonized with the violin and guitar, and perfectly harmonized in the combination of those sounds. You have that bowed string instrument with that finger or picked instrument, and the combination of those two sounds is really cool. And it's something that's, you hear a lot in jazz music, having two different instruments harmonize with one
another.
Oh yeah,
and it's one of those great uses of a melody that sounds improvised, sounds natural, but really it's just an illusion. It's something, the whole point is you're trying to make something that sounds like it's spontaneous, it sounds soloistic, but you're right, it actually was written down, the person's actually playing notes from a page. That's just one of the coolest things ever, is when you can come up with a melody that sounds completely spontaneous, but then it's just out of the blue, it'll be harmonized perfectly. That's really cool on this track as well. Really nice guitar solo right here as well. But yeah, Steve Kirk just did a fantastic job with this soundtrack. I don't know much about this game, but the music is just outstanding and really stands apart. When you think about, you know, modern era video game music, like a soundtrack like this is so few and far between. So it's really great that we got to feature music from this game. We're going to move on to Breath of Fire for the Super Nintendo. This soundtrack was composed by Yasuaki Fujita, Mary Yamaguchi, and Mine Fuji. Let's take a listen to Lively Mood. So cool. This is Lively Mood from Breath of Fire, composed by Yasuaki Fujita, Mary Yamaguchi, and Mine Fuji. One of my favorite things about this piece is how the groove all locks in really well, because what the bass and piano are doing, they're not hitting the same rhythms, they're just slightly different. It's like, and they go back and forth, and there's something really gratifying about that rhythmically.
Totally, yeah, you get that fantastic, very classic syncopated moving parts there.
You know it's effective because there's no drums, and it still feels really percussive and rhythmically interesting, and there's absolutely no drums in this piece.
I think that's why it's so percussive right. And rhythmic. Very good melody, great choice of instruments. My personal favorite thing about this is how the bass line works. You know, it sounds for the most part like a very classic bass line, but then you have that like that really fast moving mm-hmm. thing that could only be played on like a keyboard instrument.
Yeah, or inputted into a Super Nintendo. Yeah, no, that's a very good point. Yeah, no, this is another really good jazz waltz piece. A really cool, interesting harmonics you hear in the very beginning. I like those overtones, those shimmering colors that are kind of held. There's a lot of sustain in that beginning. It's a really nice introduction. We're going to move on to a more modern game. This is De Blob 2. The soundtrack was composed by John Guscott. We're going to play a nice elevator jazz piece called Paradise Island. Satisfying end to the loop. This is Paradise Island from De Blob 2, composed by John Guscott. Love this track.
Very, very amazing melody. It's that type of melody where it's so simple and beautiful that it feels timeless, really, and it's one of those things that it really makes you scratch your head and wonder how this melody wasn't created before this game. You know, this really mm-hmm. sounds like not only an old jazz standard, but almost like an old show tune. Like, that melody is so simple. It really is quite impressive that this comes from Da Blob 2. Like, it's really insane.
One of the things that's so effective about this melody, and you'll hear this in a lot of jazz standards, is it's utilizing a lot of the common tones between from chord to chord, but one note is changing. And that one note that's changing is the color note. it's the note that really accents the extended notes of those chords, and there's something so fulfilling about hearing that. And I love this B section here with the harmonized guitars and how the very last time it changes the chords, there's just something so rewarding about this whole song. It starts off like a little bit goofy. It's kind of evoking the feel of like Watermelon Man, the Herbie Hancock, not the original version, but the version that you hear with
the Headhunters version.
Yes, the Headhunters version. So it's kind of going for that kind of a soundscape. But yeah, and then you have the organ coming in here, which is just, it's great to add more colors when you get later on in the piece. It's just really effective jazz writing here. And the nice Fender Rhodes sound you're hearing on the left channel. Awesome. We're going to play another track from Pilot Wings for the Super Nintendo. This track is called Light Plane, and this soundtrack was composed by the wonderful Soyo Oka. Enjoy. So awesome. This is Light Plane from Pilot Wings, composed by Soyo Oka. What's so great is this is definitely authentic jazz. I mean, I have absolutely no reservations in saying that this is legitimate jazz music. One thing that's so cool is that we're not playing any funk music today. Obviously, that's related to jazz, and there's so much great funk music in video games. We're probably going to save that for a separate funk episode at some point. When I think about games like Pilot Wings 64, originally I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to want to include that in today's episode, but that's actually a lot more funk than jazz, and it's a subtle difference, but it's mostly what the rhythm section is doing, what the drums and bass are doing. So this track does border on funk a little bit in that B section. There's some slap bass, and that's mainly just the choice of the SNES samples.
Yeah, I think there's also a little bit of like rock influence also. Mm-hmm. Like it's sort of that fusion sound where it's combining multiple genres.
Right.
It's sort of it's making it a little bit more modern. That bass is...
It's video game jazz,
It's totally video game jazz. But also, I was talking about the modes before. Another interesting thing about this track is this is using Dorian mode.
Right.
Not only for the melody, but those chord changes that are happening in Dorian mode. So again, that's another thing about jazz. It has that classic sort of modulation that you get in a lot of jazz music, but it is using a modal scale as opposed to just major or minor.
How about that melody, though? It's so soaring, and it's so wandering, and it really feels like it's evoking the sky. It's evoking the massiveness of flying in the sky.
Yeah, there's just a fantastic sort of asymmetry to that melody, because you have da 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 da, so that's like one half of the melody, and then you have da 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 da, so it's like it's not quite symmetrical, it's not doing the same rhythms, and there's
a good point.
It feels so well constructed. Honestly, this is like, to me, one of the best video game melodies of the SNES. Like it's really fantastic. I can't believe we hadn't played
this
on the
podcast.
It's one
of the most unique. Yeah.
But it's like there's a few of those melodies where it's like you just hear them maybe once. Like I never played this game that much, but immediately when we were preparing for this week's episode and we played this, I'm just like, "Oh, we've played this too many times on the podcast." But then I realized, "Oh, we've never done it."
Yeah.
This melody is just that good that you just remember it.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously, like landing, it's doing a lot
landing
of things.
Landing on the nine.
Landing on the nine, having that Dorian mode. It's doing a lot of very memorable things, but it's just a very classic melody, in
absolutely
my opinion.
We're going to play a really cool track. This is from the Mario and Zelda Big Band Live CD, and this was a live concert in Japan that was recorded in 2003, featuring music from the Mario and Zelda franchises. We're going to play the athletic theme from Yoshi's Island, and this was performed by Yoshihiro Arita and his band. And this is another great use of violin in jazz music. So this is definitely kind of a bluegrass ensemble. So you have a mandolin, you have violin, upright bass, I think banjo, I believe, as well. So definitely a bluegrass band, but they're playing music that has kind of a Dixieland sound. So it's a really cool combination of sounds here. Let's take a listen to Athletic from Yoshi's Island. This is Athletic from Yoshi's Island, performed live from the Mario and Zelda Big Band Live CD by Yoshihiro Arita and his band. Man, just what can you say about this? This is just such a great performance of such a great song. It's just everything's coming together so well. One of the things that I loved about it is that you're getting doubling in octaves with the mandolin and banjo. It's such a cool sound.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we all know that Koji Kondo was incredibly influenced by jazz music, and he admits to that being one of his favorite genres to play, and that's what he was really influenced as a young adult, mm-hmm. writing and playing music. But what's so cool is his jazz influence really carries over into his musical style, really. I think when he was writing this piece, I think he was going for like a bluegrass sound.
He was going
sound.
For a Dixieland sound. And one thing that I think is really interesting is some people might listen to this and maybe not know quite enough about the relationship of those genres. Might say, oh no, this is bluegrass. But it's all related. And this is actually, the music itself is not bluegrass, it's Dixieland. And there's a lot of similarities between bluegrass and Dixieland. One being that they both will incorporate the banjo. If you see a Dixieland group, it will have a banjo in it. But this is definitely a bluegrass ensemble that's playing Dixieland music. There's a lot of connection between those two genres, but it's undeniable in its jazz influence. Such great solos here.
This is one of Koji Kondo's best melodies, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And what about that time when it's harmonized with the violin and mandolin? That's just... oh, that's so great. I like when the violin takes the harmony underneath. Yeah, the tone that this violinist has is just so gorgeous. It's just to die for. Cool, we're going to move on to another soundtrack composed by Mr. Peter McConnell. This is the most recent game we're going to play today. This is a game that just came out a couple months ago. This is Sly Cooper Thieves in Time, the latest game in the Sly Cooper series. We're going to play a track called I Smell a Rat. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. This is I Smell a Rat from Sly Cooper, Thieves in Time, composed by the one and only Peter McConnell. This is just cool, man. It's just incredibly cool.
Yeah, this was my vote for track of the week when we were preparing for this episode, because I just love everything about it. I mean, the fact that it's in 5/4 immediately has that connotation with, like, Mission Impossible and Spy. Mm-hmm. So it's perfect for the Sly Cooper series. But the choice of instruments is very customized and just absolutely perfect for this song.
Yeah, the fact that you have those pizzicato strings that are very subtle.
They do bow at some points. You have the sort of tremolo crescendos happening.
You have the bass clarinet. You have the muted trumpet. The vibes that are coming in right here, which is, oh my gosh.
And you have that accordion.
Right? Yep. Which gives it more of a European flavor. But yeah, there's some of the tracks on the soundtrack that border on gypsy jazz, some of them that have the kind of secret agent, stealthy vibe, but it's just incredibly imaginative music. Like, I really recommend going on iTunes and buying this soundtrack. Like, what's really great about modern game soundtracks is a lot of them are available on iTunes, which wasn't the case for, you know, a lot of older soundtracks, but this is really one that, as well as that Voodoo Vince, those two soundtracks especially, I would really recommend buying the whole soundtrack. It's just a really enjoyable listen all the way through. Cool, we're going to play another track from Minnesota Fats, Pool Legend. This is a nice jazz ballad. This is called The Fine Draw. Goodness, another contender with track of the week this week. It was a very tough call this week. This is Minnesota Fats Pool Legend, The Fine Draw, composed by Shogo Sakai, Masaki Iwasaki, and Saiji Momoi. Oh my gosh, this is such a fulfilling piece of music. One thing that's so great about it is that the melody in the A and B section, in some ways the B section is the best part of this piece, because you think a lot about this piece right away. It's really, really catchy, really melodic, great jazz writing. But that B section almost is more interesting because you have those denk, 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 denk on the accompaniment. They're doing kind of a triplet feel. This part here, oh my gosh, it's almost the best part of the whole song. It's engaging throughout the entire piece. It holds your interest throughout.
I think a big part of that is it has a very consistent, high-quality melody to it. You know, it's a very jazz-pop kind of melody, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not very improvised at all. It's very structured. You know, there's counter melody. You have that da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, when the Rhodes comes in on the right channel, that is just so tasty.
Yeah, that would be Rhodes.
It would be Rhodes, yeah. I can still tell that it's trying to be Rhodes. Yeah, no, this is something that really, a slow ballad like this, it really, and we talked about this in our romantic music episode, if it isn't for that incredibly catchy melody, this wouldn't be that interesting. Like, if it wasn't for that melody, this would be fine background music, but it really wouldn't be that enjoyable to listen to on its own. It would set the mood well, but this is enjoyable to listen to because of how strong that melody is.
Well, I think the cool thing about jazz is the chord changes are so effective and so engaging. Mm-hmm. When you have a whole melody that can string together all those changes, mm-hmm. almost even if you're just playing each quarter note is just like a shared tone from all those chords, like, that's just... it's so moving and effective because there's so many chord changes happening. When you're able to create a melody that really strings everything together, it's like almost as complete as music can get.
Well, yeah,
really.
And because there's so much modulation in jazz music, you're going to come up with melodies that would make no sense in a rock song or a pop song because they're outlying those different chord changes. And I think that's what's so cool is you can have a melody that has this level of complexity and beauty and sophistication that is not possible and would not make sense in other genres. And I think that's one of the greatest things about jazz music is
Absolutely.
That the melodies can be so sophisticated. We're going to move on to a track for the Super Nintendo from The Legend of the Mystical Ninja. Oh, I love this soundtrack so much. This is a track called Keep an Adventure Log. This soundtrack was composed by Kazuhiko Ohara and Harumi Oeko. Let's take a listen. This is Keep an Adventure Log from The Legend of the Mystical Ninja, another great elevator bossa nova jazz piece here. We have played a couple bossa novas today. I think the first one we played was that one from De Blob 2. My gosh, this is just masterful writing here. Everything about it is so well done.
Definitely. Great melody, very busy, incredibly active. I love this intro, how you have that string instrument
doing that little introductory
melody there. But a very lively, constant, long sort of cadence that's going on with this melody here.
Really long cadence, yeah, you're right. And again, really great example of how the interlocking rhythms all work together. You have the doom, 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 doom. You have the bam, 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 and all of it locks in. All of it's doing different things. Oh my gosh, it's just, yeah, bossa nova, Latin music is just, it's just almost the most danceable music out of any music that I can think of. It's like more danceable than like straight up techno music. I don't know, there's something great about it. Another good thing, though, is that in a lot of techno music, a lot of dance music you listen to, it has so much jazz influence in it. Like, one of my favorite things in dance music is when the bass line is on the offbeat, like a and that's such a jazz thing, too, to have such a reliance on the offbeat. So there's definitely a lot of influence in jazz music that you'll hear in something like techno music, which I think a lot of people won't inherently think of. But if you know a lot about jazz, you really do hear the influence. It spans so many genres. Kind of weird to talk about that in this particular song because it's quite different.
Well, I think something about that song, too, is that sort of delay. I don't know if it's actually delay or if it's just sort of harmonic colors underneath that sound like it. But you have...
Right.
So it's like, for everything that melody's doing, it sort of decays in this very swung, offbeat, heavy kind of delay. Like the rhythm of that delay is happening.
Oh, yeah. And just so you guys know, at some point in the future, we will have a Mystical Ninja / Goemon episode. And that's something that I am just incredibly looking forward to because every single game in that series is just, oh, the music is so awesome. All right, now it was a very tough choice, but it is time to move on to our track of the week. This is from a game called SimCity 3000. This was composed by Mark Russo. Let's take a listen to Central Park Sunday.
We'll be right back.
goodness, that is just the coolest thing ever. This is Central Park Sunday from SimCity 3000, composed by Mark Russo. And this soundtrack featured a few different composers, and they each kind of took their share of tracks. And this, oh my gosh, is so cool. It's such an old-school jazz piece. Will was saying that it really sounds like something in the 50s or 60s, like early era Herbie Hancock. Like, this reminds me a lot of Cantaloupe Island. But oh my gosh, Will was saying,
well, and just how darn melodic it is. Right. It really sounds like an old school Herbie Hancock.
And it kind of also reminds me of Horace Silver as far as the really interesting trumpet and sax harmonies.
Yeah.
That was something that Horace Silver does a lot. Like, what really reminds me is like Song for My Father features just really interesting harmonies with the sax and trumpet. And this song has that as well. But what's so cool is this is like early funk. It's funk music before the drummer went away from the ride cymbal.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, they would still ride on the cymbal while they played funk music. But eventually, once they transferred over to the hi-hat, then that kind of opened up a lot of doors. But this is old school, just really great swing music right here.
Well, and that B section is very sort of like smooth jazz, really nice.
And another thing, this is also in 5/4. We forgot to mention. So it's another track that's in 5/4. And so it definitely kind of, rhythmically, it reminds you a little bit of something like Take Five, which that was the song that really made 5/4 popular and famous.
Right.
By, obviously, Dave Brubeck. The late, great Dave Brubeck. So, yeah, man, I can't say enough about this track. It was really hard this week to decide on a track of the week, and so many of those other tracks we talked about are absolutely stellar. But this one is just hard.
I love this B-section. Yeah. This so
is
beautiful.
Because this track is called Central Park Sunday. This is the kind of Sunday part of the song. This is the kind of relaxing, the afternoon kind of section of the song. And then the A section is kind of the at nighttime, like with all the traffic. And
it's really relaxed, but there is just such extended harmonic chord changes going on there. It's so beautiful. You know, when we were listening to Carl sing, it reminded him of John Williams' score for the movie Hook. There's
that
theme banning back home, and it uses similar chords. It has doom ba dang, doom ba da ba.
For that B section, yeah. Because it's slightly cheesy, I'll admit.
It's sort of smooth jazz.
It's very smooth jazz, but this A section is, oh my gosh, this is so cool. It's just one of the most catchy, happy things I've ever heard. I'm so glad that.
And when that trumpet gets up there, ba ba da ba. Like, it's just great.
Just the fact that this is from a video game, like, nobody would think that. It's incredibly authentic. It's, in my opinion, one of the most authentic video game jazz soundtracks of all time. And yeah, it's from SimCity 3000, so very surprising stuff here. Now, we played a track from this soundtrack a couple weeks ago. This is Marvel vs. Capcom 2. We kind of alluded in our Capcom episode that we'd be coming back to a track from this soundtrack because this soundtrack is very jazzy, but this particular track is very authentic. This is Clock Tower Stage, composed by Tetsuya Shibata. Yeah, man, this is Clock Tower Stage from Marvel vs. Capcom 2. And a lot of the tracks in this soundtrack get more close to funk, but this was one that I really felt confident playing in today's episode because it has really authentic jazz chord changes, has a Latin flair to it, but rhythmically, on the rhythm section, is very funky. I think one thing that's funny is the only real instrument in this whole group is the guitar. When you hear that real guitar solo, there's something really cool that really goes a long way in making this feel authentic, even though all the other instruments are fake.
Yeah, something about it feels very like Japanese video game music, jazz, like type of thing in like later Sonic games you get a little bit. And part of that is just that sound set. You have that fake pop brass, fake soprano sax, but real guitar that's like clean guitar with like ultra reverb on it.
Yeah, it's so tasty. And that piano solo, oh my gosh, yeah, it's just to die for. Yeah, soundtrack was a really cool discovery. I was really impressed with it. We're going to move on to a track from Wario Land Shake It. This came out for the Wii. It was composed by Tomoya Tamita, just a vintage Nintendo composer, an absolute veteran.
We played a couple tracks from this soundtrack, if you remember correct.
Very, very good soundtrack. I think the first episode we played was actually on our episode 3, our very first show and tell. I think we played a track from this game. We're going to play Glitter Town Return. You're listening to Glitter Town Return from Wario Land Shake It, composed by Tomoya Tamita. It's really great how many of these Japanese cats can do authentic jazz so well. I think it's really obvious that they're really fans of jazz and that some of these guys are players. They're actually, I know a lot of these composers play in jazz groups.
Right.
And Tomoya Tamita may be one of those gentlemen.
These are really good sax samples. It's obviously fake, but what's funny is at the beginning, it was real.
Yeah, the solo sounded real, but the head, the melody sounded incredibly fake.
Right.
That's interesting.
Maybe one came before or after the other, but the other instruments are real. That that bass sounds fantastic. Fantastic walking bass line. I really love the diversity of music in this soundtrack. What I love about Tomoya Tamita's music in this soundtrack is feels like modern day, like 2D old school video game music.
Absolutely.
You know, because it's using these influences all together, but it's very melodic at the center of it. And it's not trying to necessarily be a retro throwback. It's just doing what those old school games were doing, but in more of a modern context.
It's having the same level of inspiration, but it's in a modern video game. I think that's the big thing. Now, one cool thing about the soundtrack is I love all the return themes. Now, we just listened to Glitter Town Return, but a lot of the return themes are some of the best pieces of music in the game. A lot of them are very jazzy, so most of the music is not like this. It's not straight ahead jazz, but a lot of the return themes kind of have either a big band feel or a Latin feel.
Yeah, one of the things that's so fun about the Wario Land games is when you get to the end of the level, it's a tradition that things sort of start to break down and like
you have to escape.
You have to escape before like something explodes, and then usually has a more fast
and
pace.
It's so cool because you have to backtrack the whole level and go backwards. So it's a really nice closure to every single level. You get to see the level one more time going backwards. It's really unique. We're gonna play a track from a pretty recent game. This is a game called Bayonetta. We're gonna play a track called The Gates of Hell. This was composed by Hiroshi Yamaguchi. thank you so much for joining us today on our jazz music episode. This is a great time to share this unique music with all of you guys. I think this is a really cool showcase of video game music. I think there's a lot of people that if you played some of these tracks to them, the last thing they would think of is, oh yeah, this sounds like a video game. I think it's kind of a nice defense of, you know, video game music can be incredibly sophisticated too. It's definitely an art form in and of itself. So I think it's really cool that we got to share some of this.
Yeah, and if nothing else, it's just music, you know?
Right, yeah. Yeah, it really, there's nothing really inherently video game about this particular track. That
I think a cool thing about this episode today is that you sort of see the cross-pollination of different cultures. You know, we talked about, and we talked about this on our influences episode, but the mixture between, like, Latin ideas and jazz music. But something that's so cool is, like we said before, jazz music is a very American art form. But you see so many of these Japanese composers that are so fond of jazz, mm-hmm. and nowadays almost more so than most Americans are, because it's very mm-hmm. prevalent in Japanese pop music.
Absolutely. No, it's a really interesting point. Jazz music has really reached the entire world, and it's definitely loved all around the world. And it's loved by me definitely a lot. So really glad I got to share this with you guys today. Thanks so much for listening. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm Will Brueggemann. Have a great week, you guys. See you next time.
Peace out.